Welcome to The Spot, KALW's weekly space for the best in public radio podcasts and storytelling. I'm your host, Ashley Ann Krigbaum. On today's episode, we'll meet three artists working in different mediums and hear stories about what inspires them and what invisible ideas and memories are pushing them to create their specific visual and sonic artworks. On KFAI, public radio in Minneapolis, you can hear Mini Culture, a radio series that weaves audio documentaries with live musical performances, all based around people and places in and around Minneapolis. Earlier this year, Miniculture featured the story of award-winning animator Tom Schroeder. His most recent film relies on his personal recollections and memory, specifically the kind of memories that are left behind in the space where a person used to be. KFAI's Zan Holston reports on how Schroeder mixed memory with past sorrows to create something new.
Tom Schroeder describes his new film as a collaboration with his dead friend, Dave Hare. If you find that difficult to wrap your head around, perhaps Schroeder can shed some light on how he's doing it.
When you die, you just leave this immense, unfiltered residue of your life in boxes and on shelves and on hard drives. And hard drives is really interesting because it is an actual metaphor for memory.
Schroeder's newest film is also his oldest. It's called The Sparrow's Flight. It explores his relationship with Dave Hare, his earliest collaborator, who died from a brain tumor in 2009. This is a clip from it.
When Dave Hare met Tom Schroeder in 1987, they immediately set out shooting together with their Super 8 film cameras.
In 1987, I saw Street of Crocodiles at the Walker with my friend Dave Hare.
This is important. Street of Crocodiles is an experimental stop-motion masterpiece created by the brothers Quay. The 1986 film is dense, dark, and surreal. It's loosely based on an obscure Polish book of short stories, and the film blew them away. So, they did what any pair of aspiring animators would do. They holed up in a barn in western Wisconsin.
Where we were just basically mimicking the brothers Quay as best we could, building sets and doing stop-motion and that footage that you see in The Sparrow's Flight was all generated in the late 80s.
Through these experiments, they shaped clay and squeegeed paint across plate glass. They made wooden cutouts that spun and danced, and 3 decades later, and years after the death of Schroeder's friend, in The Sparrow's Flight, well, they flew.
We were also playing in a rock band together, and our interests were kind of going in a zillion different directions at once. And at the point that I felt satisfied with the experimentation and the way that we were doing it, Dave, whose sensibility was inherently not narrative, didn't want to go along with me in that way.
Schroeder and Hare never stopped working together. They kept playing music and worked on commercial projects. But Schroeder wanted to work on narrative-driven stories.
That's my disposition. I'm an English major. I don't come from a fine arts background at all. And so my first approach to thing is really like the podcast. I mean, that would be a great job for me, as making animated films from This American Life stories.
In a lot of ways, animated podcasts are exactly what he makes. Point in case, his trilogy of bike films, collaborations with drummer Dave King of jazz group The Bad Plus. In Bike Ride, Schroeder recorded a young man's story of his 50-mile bike journey to his girlfriend's house, only to get dumped. King drummed a half-composed, half-improvised accompaniment over the narration, but he would only play it once.
We were listening back to it, and I said, "That's great. Yeah, let's just do another one so I have something to choose from." And he said, "You know, Tom, you're the director. We can do that if you want, but I'm telling you that I got it." And you know, like those Japanese monk guys who drink rice wine and stare at a blank canvas for 4 hours and then suddenly in a kind of one fit of activity throw paint on the canvas? I think we should look at it like that.
King's zen-like approach rubbed off on Schroeder, and he changed his approach. They made a second film, Bike Race, in 2010, and are working on a third in the series, Bike Trip. In the bike film, sinuous white lines morph and merge over a black backdrop, while King's drums roll, stutter, and crash. It's pretty jazzy.
The film, the actual sitting down every day and drawing, was the act of discovering what the film was supposed to be. And the film was, in a way, making itself from the inside out. And that's pretty liberating for an animator, because animation is such a kind of anal retentive control freaks world, there's so much pre-production involved in most animation that by the time you're actually executing it, it's almost already done. And then the execution is really painstaking and laborious, so it takes a long time.
So exactly how long does it take to produce an animated short? Schroeder released his first film, The 8-Minute and 50-Second Desert Dive In 1996. He started by spending 3 weeks drawing sketches.
And then over the course of five really kind of horrible, painstaking years, I executed the 8,136 drawings on pencil, inked those to cell acetate, painted the cell acetate, created the backgrounds, and then shot it over the course of 21 12-hour days on a camera with five cell layers.
Technology has changed how Schroeder animates. These days, he draws in a digital tablet directly into a software program and goes from there. Technology also made his most recent film possible. In the case of The Sparrow's Flight, Schroeder exploits those hard drives he mentioned at the beginning of the story. Through them, he reaches into the past, literally, to manipulate Hare's carefully archived Photoshop files to animate the larger story.
So all of those designs are his, and all of the animation is me. And so it is, as I think I describe it in my little tagline, a collaboration with my dead friend. It's probably our last collaboration in a pure sense.
It's a beautiful homage, a remembrance of friendship in its earliest and final days, fueled by love, nostalgia, and dark humor. It's also pretty sad. But Schroeder says the process was cathartic.
It seems like a kind of grim exercise, like a really sad thing. And there were days when I sat in the chair you're sitting in and just cried, because it was sad when I thought about my friend. But mostly it was just fun. And so that was cool, because then it made me feel like I was winning. In a way, you know, it's like time wasn't going to win after all. Even death couldn't stop us from collaborating.
Hello, emptiness. Do your worst.
For KFAI, I'm Zan Holston.
That story was first presented on Miniculture, a radio series produced at KFAI in Minneapolis. You can find more stories of artists, wrestlers, cassette tape producers, and so many other folks from all walks of life under Miniculture at kfai.org. You're listening to The Spot, KALW's weekly space for the best in public radio podcasts and storytelling. I'm your host, Ashley Ann Krigbaum. Like with animation and filmmaking, composing and performing music also relies on the emotions and memories of the people creating the art. Meet the Composer is a Peabody Award-winning podcast hosted by violinist Nadia Sirota, and it takes listeners into the minds and creative processes of the composers who make some of the most innovative music today. It's the kind of show that always tries to present composers as full people, rather than just discuss their work at hand. In this bonus episode of the podcast, Kaya Sarriaho and violinist Jennifer Koh speak on how visual inspiration can affect compositions, as well as the process to transfer a full spectrum of emotions into a sonic world. We'll also hear their performance of Sarriaho's piano trio titled Light and Matter.
This is a Meet the Composer bonus track.
I'm Nadia Sirota, and this is a Meet the Composer bonus track. Today we'll hear a piano trio by the composer Kaya Sarriaho called Light and Matter. The performance we're going to hear is from the Library of Congress, but we were very lucky to get the composer along with violinist Jennifer Koh to stop by the Q2 Music Studio to talk a little bit about the piece.
Hello, my name is Kaya Sarriaho. I'm a composer. I try to be always very simple. That's not always the result, it's not always very simple, but I try to be very, very clear, and already for a musician to assume a music which never existed before, it demands a lot. I imagine the instruments very physically. And then I might ask myself, well, what happens in fact if the cellist is trilling vertically and not horizontally? Often it can come from this kind of really very concrete physical idea.
My name is Jennifer Coe, and I play the violin. With her music, it's not about stuff going out towards you. It's about bringing you in. It's like suddenly all of the outside world just shuts down and goes, and you're just drawn into her music. The other interesting thing, I think, which is very special to her music, is that a lot of things are about the spaces in between. It's not primary colors, in other words. It's about searching for that entire spectrum of sound and expressivity. It's not just like, I'm angry, I'm happy, or I'm sad, I'm happy. It's about all of those emotions in between. And I think she really encapsulates that in a really unique and special way.
I worked closely with many musicians and for a long time now. Often our collaboration starts only when the piece is finished. So I write a piece and I give it to musician and I ask him or her, well, what do you think? What about this place? Then we might shape some things. But it's very comforting, I think, for a composer to really go through the piece and especially the first performance with somebody you know and who knows your music.
I almost felt like I knew that I would be close to her when I heard her music. I mean, that's immediately what I felt. I felt like I understood this person because she's just an incredibly caring and thoughtful human being, a friend. I don't know how else to put it. I admire her greatly for her ability to be so empathic and so sympathetic and so sensitive. There's something quite special about that, I think.
Here is Kaya Sarriaho's Light and Matter, performed by violinist Jennifer Coe, cellist Ansi Kartunen, and pianist Yevo Yokobavashute.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was Kaya Sarriaho's Light and Matter, performed by violinist Jennifer Koh, cellist Ansi Kartunen, and pianist Yeva Yokobabi-Shuta. Light and Matter was commissioned by the Library of Congress Dinah Kosten and Roger Shapiro Fund for New Music in honor of the 90th anniversary of concerts from the Library of Congress, Britain Sinfonia, and Norrbotten NEO, and co-commissioned by the Aeolian Chamber Players in honor of the 50th anniversary of the Bowdoin International Music Festival. The performance was recorded live at the Coolidge Auditorium in the Library of Congress on May 22, 2015, recorded by Michael E. Turpin and mixed by Curtis McDonald. This Meet the Composer bonus track was produced by Curtis McDonald, Alexander Overington, and myself, Nadia Sirota. Q2 Music's executive producer is Alex Ambrose. For complete episodes and more bonus tracks of exclusive audio, subscribe to the Meet the Composer podcast on iTunes. Thank you.
like a pouncer upon a peak. Oh, look at what the light did now. Bear it like a bouncer upon the beak. Oh, look at what the light did now. Land and water and bird or beast. Oh, look at what the light did now. Shiny little band or golden fleece. Oh, look at what the light did now. Look at what the light did now. Look at what the light did now.
That's it for today's episode of The Spot. You can find this episode and more at KALW.org under the Programs tab. And tell me what you want to hear on The Spot. If you have a suggestion for a podcast we should feature, please drop me a line at thespot@kalw.org. And tune in next Thursday, the same time, for another episode of The Spot, only on KALW San Francisco.